speak through me, Lord, what you want me to say, Lord. And I just thank you again for everything that you've done for me and for all of us, Lord. And we praise your name, Jesus' name. Amen. Whew. Well, that, I'll explain some of the pictures in a few minutes, but that was my trip this summer. I was gone for a total of about three months, a little short of 3 months. God is just so good in my life, and I guess I'll start from the beginning about how he's been good and how he's brought me to this trip. I've been very blessed. I guess I'm really blessed because I've had great parents. I hope I don't get emotional, but if I do, bear with me. So from when I was really little, they always brought me to church. I think we were there every time the doors were open, you know. And I remember falling asleep under the pews when we were like little kids, you know, because, you know, you didn't want to listen to the preacher because you're a little kid and you want to play. So, but, you know, they were faithful to bring us, and whatever activity it was, they put us in it. And just through the years, you know, we learned about God and everything about him. And if we had questions, they would answer them. And so I've always known about God, and I feel really blessed because a lot of people don't grow up with that understanding of who God is and who Jesus is and what he's done. And so I always grew up that way. And I don't know, there's a few times that I walked down the aisle and I was like, yes, I believe in Jesus, but I might have not really known about what that was. And I know that we've been learning, me and, well, actually, I'm taking a psychology religion class right now. So that's a little tough, but we talked about there's two different types of people have different types of conversions, sudden and gradual. And I think for me, there was no sudden point where I can say that I accepted Jesus. I mean, there was a point that a few times, but there's no time that I can say all of a sudden I just felt my life was completely different. But I know that God was always there, and I know there's a few times in my life where I can feel that God really changed me a certain way. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is my Savior. But it's kind of like it's been a growth process and through my whole life, and God's put me through crazy different circumstances, and he's brought me out of them. And so, I don't know, it's just, I guess whenever I was a teenager, I can distinctly remember one year, I think it was probably about 2001, we went to a church camp. We always went to this camp in Tennessee. It was called Christmas Challenge, and it was right after Christmas, and it was the most amazing time. We had so much fun, and I just remember one night God spoke to me that, yes, I believed in him, but my actions weren't a reflection of that. And I remember that night, just, God just touched me that night. He filled me with such a peace. And he's like, Christy, I don't only want you to believe and say you believe in me, but I want your actions to show it as well. And so I think that night was one of the changing points in my life where I was like, okay, God, we're going to start living in for you. And I really felt tonight that God wanted me to maybe talk about more about how I got into missions and how he brought me, because it's a crazy path. And as I look back on it, I'm like, whoa, did God do all that? And God brought me there. But I guess it all started with a Sunday school teacher. So all of you Sunday school teachers who teach Sunday after, and you think that maybe you don't have an effect, you really do. And all of my Sunday school teachers had a big effect on my life. But one in particular, she was the first one who really emphasized, you know, personal relationship with Jesus, and just really encouraged me to just really come to know Jesus personally. And I remember she made us do these basically journals, and she made us decorate them. And the first page, she made us write a letter to God. So I was like, okay, this is kind of different, you know, because I was raised, I guess personal relationship wasn't emphasized. It was always talked about, but maybe I didn't catch it. I don't know if that makes any sense, but she really made me realize that it wasn't just about knowing about God, it was about knowing him. And so I remember I wrote in that letter a few things. One was a best friend, which God answered that prayer, and one was just that God would lead me. And so he gave me the best friend, and then the best friend, one summer, I guess in 2001, it said, let's go to Brazil to do a mission trip. So I was like, that sounds cool, you know, and whatever. So I go, Mom, guess what? I'm going to Brazil this summer. I was probably about 14. And she was like, what? She's like, you are not going to Brazil. She's like, are you kidding me? And at that time, my mom was a single parent. So my mom's like, first of all, where's this money going to come from? And second of all, why am I letting you go halfway across the world and you're like 14? But I was like, no, Mom, really, I really think I'm supposed to do this. I want to go to Brazil. And, you know, my best friend Kayla, she had went the summer before. I'm like, she went the summer before. She can do it. I can do it. We can do it. And not really knowing, I guess, what I was getting myself into. But God really pulled through. I guess when you're young, you don't think like maybe about the financial things. You just, God gives you a dream and you're just like, let's do it. No matter, you know, I guess as you get older, you kind of see the, oh, finances or time or whatever. But we were just like, let's do it. And Mom was like, I'm just not seeing how this is going to happen. But Christy, if you want to do it, we'll try to do it. So I remember we fundraised. Oh, my goodness, we fundraised. Gumbo sales, whatever it was. And that was my first experience. And my first experience that I ever got to do like an out of country, poorer than me country, it was just for me as a child, or I guess I was still a child then, I didn't understand how the rest of the world lived. And it was just such... I guess an awakening experience, like, as children, our parents are such good, they're good, some of us are lucky to have good parents, and the other ones, you know, but we never have to worry about where our next meal is going to come through, because, you know, somebody's always going to provide for us. Like, if we get scraped, we can always run to Mom or Dad, and they're like, oh, here, let me fix that, honey, you know, and, I just remember whenever I was 14, we went to Brazil, and one day we were working with, we were working in the slums, and we were working with this group. And, a pastor asked us, he's like, do y'all want to come to, minister to people in the dump with me? And, you know, as a kid, you're like, yeah, let's go, you know? And, so we got behind him, and, so we started walking, and these, you know, kids, I don't know if I can say this, but, if you're in a different country and you're white, you're like a magnet, you know, people just like rush to you. And so all these kids would just cling on to us. Or it's just if you're from a different country and they know you are, they just want to find everything out about you, everything they can. And so they're just clinging to us. But I realized as we got closer to the dump that we were going to, that more and more of them just seemed to back away. And I remember we came to this clearing, and I think that's whenever it really realized to me, I really realized how much God's given me and how much He's blessed me, because we were just there, and there's these little boys, and they're like, come look at my puppies, and come to my house and look at my puppies. And I was looking around this landfill, and I was like, where's your house? Where's your house at? And I remember they brought me to these garbage bags. And they're like, these are my puppies. These are my new puppies. And that was their house, was garbage bags that were held up by two garbage cans. And they wanted me to take a picture of their puppies. They were so proud of their puppies. And I just remember sitting there, and I was heartbroken, because I was like, they have nothing, but they're, you know, they're smiling. They want to show me something. But if I was them, I was looking at them and I was like, there's no way I would be happy living like this. But these children found something, anything that could bring them joy, and they grasped a hold of it, and they wanted to share it with everybody. And I don't know, that was my first time that God ever brought me. And I don't know, God provided for that trip, and He opened my eyes, and He put a passion in me after that trip. And I mean, it's not all about trips or where you go. There's plenty to do just right here. God calls us each to different things, and this is just something that God has brought me to, and I don't know why, but I just know that this is where I'm supposed to go. And so a few years later, I never forgot my Sunday school teacher, Miss Kathy, that I told you about earlier. What she did is she went, and I just remember her disappearing at one time. She disappeared. And I was like, well, where did Miss Kathy go? She went somewhere. And she, I don't know if any of you ever heard of an organization called YWAM, which is Youth with a Mission. Basically, it's an interdenominational organization whose motto is to know God and make Him known. And they're really emphasis on discipleship and then also sending out to the nations. And so that's where she had went. She went and did what we call discipleship training school. And it was, they vary how long they are, but she had went, and she had went to all these places. And she came back and told us all these stories. And I was like, whoo, this sounds good. I'm going to do that one day. And not actually thinking that it would ever happen. But so whenever I was probably about 15, I guess, the next year, I was like, Mom, guess what? And I know she was thinking, oh, not again. I do not want to hear this. And I was like, Mom, I really feel like God wants me to do a summer mission trip again. And I was like, I've been praying about it, and I really feel like we're going to India this year. And she was like, no. But then again, after she thought about it, you know, after the shock effect wore off, she's like, okay. She's like, if this is meant to happen, it'll happen. We'll pray about it. Again, we don't know where the money's coming from, but if this is what you feel like God wants you to do, Christine, you know, we can do it. And so I prayed and I prayed, and I just really felt God was sending me all these messages like I was going to go to India. Well, turns out that year India had a civil war. So they called me up and they had saw my thing, and they're like, Christy, just want to let you know that we can't go to India this year, but there's some spaces going to Brazil. And I remember my heart then, oh my goodness. I was thinking, but God told me to go to India. But I just prayed about it, and I was like, you know, obviously God wanted me on this trip. He provided the funds, again, through great people. Y'all just, your prayers and your money, if you ever support anyone that ever does this, not only, even the, I know that they went to Mexico. It's an eye-opening experience. And you really are impacting not only the peoples that they're going to minister to, but their lives as well. And through prayer, I mean, I got a testimony of that this summer. Your prayer just helped me. We had no sickness. We had one or two kind of life-threatening incidents, but they weren't that life-threatening. You know, we got out of them. And I just really think that I just know that that's a result of your prayers and your support. And that gift package y'all sent me, y'all just don't know. I mean, I was sitting there, and my friend was getting packages, and I was like, oh, I'm not getting any packages. And all of a sudden, it came. It came an hour before I was leaving, but it came, you know. Praise the Lord. And that's a whole other story. But God just, so then I went to Brazil that year, and God just continued to put this heart in me. And I remember, this is going to sound really weird, but I remember one time when I was young, I had this dream of a house. It was just in my mind. There was a dream of a house. And I was looking through this YWAM manual that you can do at discipleship training school. And lo and behold, there is a picture of that same house that I just recognized it. And I'm like, whoa. I'm like, I think I'm supposed to go there, but I don't know when. And so a few years later, after I graduated high school, I looked at that picture and I was like, okay, God, we're going to go. But I remember halfway through before I went there, I was really doubting God. I was like, God, this was just me that wanted to go. This wasn't you that wanted to go. And I remember it was a few days before Christmas, and I was in the mall shopping, getting last-minute Christmas gifts. And this strange guy just walked up to me. I'm not going to lie. I did not know who he was from Adam, okay? And he walked up to me, and I was like, he's like, is your name Christy? Christy Pennison? And I kind of looked at him. I'm like, are you stalking me? You know, what's the deal? And he said, yeah, Christy Pennison. And by the way, this school was going to be in England, so there's nobody around here that's going to be going to that school, you know? And he comes up to me, he's like, you know what? You're going to the same school that I'm going to in January. I'm going to be one of your leaders. And I was like, I remember I just started shaking because I knew that that was God's confirmation for me to go. Because, I mean, there's no way in that mall during Christmas time that somebody would just pick me out and say, you know, are you going? And I remember also, I know they probably wouldn't want me to tell their names, but, oh gosh, what's their names? People you went with. Yeah. The Calhouns. I remember the day before I was supposed to leave, I was still fretting about the money situation. And I remember they faithfully sent me a large amount check for me to go. And I was like, whoa, God, you want me to go? I'm going, you know? And so I guess that's what God brought me to this trip, because we had went and we did our discipleship. We had went to Africa. And I just look back on this, and I guess this is my testimony, is that God's been faithful and that God's provided. And I really felt that God wanted me to share with you, if God plants a dream in your heart, I know that there's tons of people that will come at you and be like, uh-huh, no, you can't do that. But, I mean, if you just really stick to God, then he can make a way, you know? He can, one of the verses that I always cling to is, as God, his way is perfect. So sometimes when I'm going through life, I'm like, this don't seem like the ideal situation. But, God pulls you through it. And I guess just a few quick, and I'll let Brother Buddy speak, because I know he's got a great message for us tonight. A few quick things about some of the pictures you saw. We had a few great opportunities. I mean, God just opened doors. Us two little girls going down there. It was just me and my friend Becky. You probably saw a lot of pictures of her. We are the ones who went this summer, and God just opened doors for us. We got, you probably saw a lot of kids with disabilities. I don't know if you could tell if they had disabilities. That was our main ministry, was working with kids with disabilities. And I don't know if you saw those little puppets that we had. Them puppets, I never knew. I was walking in Big Lots before I left, and I was like, oh, those are cute. Let me get those. And they were just like, them kids, they saw those puppets, and they were like, ooh, you know. And so we basically just prayed and encouraged the parents, and we had a few clinics, which you saw a few pictures, where the parents would come, and they would discuss different things. And we worked with a ministry called Spring of Hope, which is just an amazing ministry. It was started. This is another opportunity. I mean, you young people, God can do anything. The lady that started this ministry was 24 years old when she started it. She was from the UK, and she felt that God just put a place on her heart to work with kids with disabilities. And she started this whole ministry that affects tons of people in this district, kids that never was able to have surgeries and stuff. They're able to. And I mean, it's really hard in Africa. A lot of parents, they have to choose between, do I, you know, try to work with my child, or do I go out in the garden and field so I can provide food? And so a lot of these children, even some that we went and visited, they would just be in a corner all by themselves. And we just walk in and we're like, where's the mom? And I remember, I'll never forget, we walked in one house and there was this little 2-year-old and then the child sitting in the corner. And Moses, the guy that I worked with, he's like, you know, sometimes she has to go out in the garden, so that's where she's at, and she just leaves him here. And I don't know, just every time God just reminds me, Christy, you are blessed 100 times over. You just don't understand. And I don't know, I guess, I don't know if you saw the picture of us riding in the back of the truck with a cow. That was a fun experience. Because we use public transport. That's one cool thing about the organization. They're like, you going to get around? You going to get around the way everybody else does? So we hopped in the back of a pickup truck that was getting us back to a few hours. We had a few hours to ride in that pickup truck, so it wasn't no pleasant experience. But we were getting in. They're like, there was a cow. And we're like, we're getting in this pickup truck with a cow? They're like, yeah. Well, he's getting off at another stop. We'll pull him off the truck sooner or later. And I remember my friend was, we were all kind of bunched up in the thing, and next thing you know, he looks at his shoe and he's like, I think the cow just had to go to the bathroom. Okay, but I don't know. There's just so much y'all can tell you, but I guess God just, I don't know. I know you saw the orphanage at the end. There's a bunch of kids. That was an orphanage we worked with. And that's another thing. This woman, Agnes, she was a counselor, an HIV counselor. So she was paid by the government to go and counsel. But as she was counseling in her career, she just saw all these children abandoned by AIDS that were just having to be given to their grandparents. And she just really had a heart, and she said, you know, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I'm going to start taking kids into my home, because these kids were just abandoned, you know, because their family members die because of the AIDS, and then they're just passed on. And so she had a heart, and now she has about 50 or 60 children. She did at one point, the first time we went, she had about 100. But I guess, and then you saw the, we also worked with, you saw the lady that was feeding the severe child with disabilities. That's, she just actually started that organization. And she basically has 7 severely disabled children. And she feeds them. So I guess one of the things I just ask for you again, that y'all are so great in praying for me, if you can just pray for them as well. And also, these are organizations that if you feel led to help them, I can get you in contact with, and they will love you more than life, because, you know, these supporters are what helps them continue their ministry. Okay, I'm going to stop talking now because I could talk all night. But one little side note. You see these beautiful necklace I have on? Isn't it lovely? Well, I don't know if you noticed, but in a few of the pictures, there were kids that were making these. And these are made by the orphans. And so I took some with me back home, not knowing if I was going to be able to do with any. But if any one of you are interested to take some of these to your work, to purchase some yourself, all the money is going to go back to the orphans, because they're the ones who made these. And these will help fun food for them and all different kinds of things. So if you're interested in either buying one or either helping me sell them, I would love you more than life, because I know I made a promise and I don't want to go back on my promise. And, okay. God is good. He's been so faithful in my life. I could talk your ear off, but I know Brother Buddy's got a great message. No, it's okay. My basic message is that God has been faithful in my life, and that I really want to encourage you, if God put something in your heart to do, He put it there for a reason. If there's a dream that you have, He put it there for a reason. And I remember Brother Nathan said one time, sometimes it takes small steps to just get there. So, I mean, sometimes it can be overwhelming, but I really believe that God will, He will be faithful, and He will provide, and He will help you through whatever it is. So, thank you for letting me share. Appreciate it.
This is Dean Tigeri. Lucky to meet him. He's a good friend. Beautiful. Christy, thank you. What you had to share is equally important or more than what I'll be sharing today. You did a wonderful job. How old are you, sis? 21. The song that I want to share with you, it's all the music that I have, God gave to me. It all comes out of the Bible. This song, to appreciate it, you have to know something about the Jubilee. In the Old Testament, they had what was called the Year of Jubilee. Every 50 years was called the Year of Jubilee. And in the Year of Jubilee, which actually was a foreglimpsing of the work of the cross, that all the, you had to let all your servants go free, all the land went back to the proper, the original family, you couldn't deed away your property. A lot of awesome things happened during the Jubilee. And so every 50 years, they had what was called Jubilee. I don't think the Jews ever actually practiced it. They were supposed to. It was in the law of Moses. When Jesus was ministering in his hometown, he ministered from a Jubilee scripture. And this is what they were, it was actually found in Isaiah 61, but I want to read it to you out of Luke chapter 4. It said he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And he took the book of the prophet Isaiah, or the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book, found the place where it was written, Spirit of the Lord is upon me for a reason. Right? Spirit of the Lord is upon you for a reason. Because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. For the scripture that Jesus read was about the Jubilee. And I'm going to share that song with you. It's called Hear the Trumpet Sounding. I don't know if I got my... Pardon me. I better get used to playing guitar again, folks. In the year of the Jubilee, a trumpet sound would fill the land, declaring liberty. From the mountain high to the field below, the trumpet sound would mean, let your servants go. Give the land its rest, set the debtor free, open prison doors, let the blind man see. Sing the happy song, let there be no need. Hear the trumpet sound, the year of Jubilee. Hear the trumpet sounding, the year of Jubilee. Listen to its message, the day that was to be. For in the time that was to come, God would send His only Son. He would be the Jubilee, born to die to make men free. And so the prophets told, in ages long ago, that there would come the Holy One sent from the Father's throne.
Taking his place with men, in him there'd be no sin. Messiah, he would be the Lord of Jubilee. Bringing in holy rest, sealing up righteousness. Glory of God we'd see, fountain of liberty. Then the redeemed would know the song of long ago, when God spoke of his plan of Moses and the Lamb. Amen. Hear the trumpet sounding, the year of Jubilee. Listen to its message, the day that was to be. For at the time that was to come, God would send his only Son. He would be the Jubilee, born to die to make men free. Now we are free indeed, made free at Calvary. Born of the Son, the Holy One, giver of life is he. Conquering sin and death, he rose in righteousness, setting the captives free, this Lord of liberty. But then there's more to this, great news of happiness. He brought us to the throne and said, you are my own. I give you power to be trumpets of liberty. Go set the captives free, sound forth the jubilee.
Hallelujah!
Hear the trumpet sounding, the year of Jubilee. Listen to its message, the day that was to be. For in the time that was to come, God would send his only Son. He would be the Jubilee, born to die to make men free.
Now, folks, I was born with excitement. And you can't stop it. It's like fire that's shut up in your bones. I don't know how in the world, because I saw that in you, Christy, when you were talking, you had fire in you, sis. I don't see how anybody can be a Christian and sit like a bump on a log. Forgive me. I tell you, it just makes you want to shout. Makes you want to praise the Lord. I'm 67 years old, and I got as much fire in me right now as I had when I was 24 years old. And I had a lot of fire then. And it's good to serve the Lord. And he's wrapping this thing up, folks, and I'll be so glad about it. Because I met a man. And he introduced himself to me. And he told me his name is Jesus Christ, and he's the Son of the living God. And he invited me to come into his kingdom and to be his child. And he decided he'd just sit me down right there on the throne with him. And that's where I've been sitting now for a long time. I look over there and I see you guys. You're sitting there too. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, folks. Smile. I got to look at you. How about just one more? They were in the boat. Looked like the boat was going to be overtaken by the floods. The wind, the rain, storms. The disciples didn't know what to do. They started shaking Jesus to wake him up. Jesus stood up and he said, peace be still. And they say, what kind of man is this? That the winds and the waves listen to him. Do you know him? Have you ever spoken into your heart? Have you ever said, peace be still? What kind of man is this? Winds and the waves listen to him. What kind of man is this who makes storm clouds go away? What kind of man is this that little children want to be near him? What kind of man is this who can make you want to pray? What kind of man is this that the angels stop to listen and to obey whatever this man should say? What kind of man is this? What kind of man is this? What kind of man is this?
starry night, men from the east came to see him. Angels appeared in their glorious light. Oh, what a wonderful season. Life down here on the earth, he shared his love with men of all birth. What kind of man could this man be? What kind of man could this man be? Do you love him? Are you in love with him? What kind of man is this who can give you living water? What kind of man is this who can love you anyway? What kind of man is this who knows your heart and what you're thinking? What kind of man is this who can drive your fears away? What kind of man is this who can heal hearts and diseases and make you feel the love of God in every way? What kind of man is this? What kind of man is this? What kind of man is this? Born in a manger on a bright starry night, men from the east came to see him. Angels appeared in their glorious light. Oh, what a wonderful season. All through his life down here on the earth, he shared his love with men of all birth. What kind of man could this man be? What kind of man could this man be? Amen. What kind of man is this that death could not hold or keep him? What kind of man is this who rose victorious from the grave? What kind of man is this that made Thomas reach and touch him? What kind of man is this who would say, don't be afraid? What kind of man is this who had given us his victory and promised to be with each of us night and day? What kind of man is this? What kind of man is this? What kind of man is this? Born in a manger on a bright starry night, men from the east came to see him. Angels appeared in their glorious light. Oh, what a wonderful season. All people's life down here on the earth, he shared his love with men of all birth. What kind of man could this man be? What kind of man could this man be? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Benny. Thank you, Jesus. I love to sing about Jesus. I love to think about Jesus. I love to talk about Jesus. And you can talk to me about God all day long and I might go to sleep on you. You start talking about Jesus. Because God can be anything. You know that? There's all kind of gods in the world. But boy, when you start talking about Jesus, you done touch my hot button. I know the man. He's God incarnate. He's the God man. Amen? Well, let me just ask you a question. You know that eternal life is a free gift. Do you know that eternal life is a free gift? You can't earn it. You don't beg for it. You don't make God give it to you. How do you get eternal life? You receive it. The Lord put on my heart this week that He wants me to share a little insight with you about prayer. And I tell you, Sunday's message was absolutely awesome. You know, I wish everybody had a copy of that message, Nathan. It was just heart stirring. But the Lord put on my heart that He wanted me to share with you some insights. And he had me do something as a way of a gift. And this is from Betty and myself. It's not from Christian Challenge. I wanted to sow into your life. And if it's a gift, you receive it. What I have here is prayer journals. And I'd like every one of you to have one. The only condition is I ask you not to use it for anything else. Now you may not use it, you may not start using it today or tomorrow. But one day God's going to tell you, I want you to get that prayer journal down that Brother Buddy, Sister Betty gave you, and I want you to use it. So I've got a prayer journal up here for all of you, and I've got a little information inside of it. But I'd like every one of you to have one. And even you young people, you young folks, if you can write a little bit, it'll be good. Mom and Dad can help you, show you how to use it. And I'm always glad to help you. But I want to pass these out. And if I can get somebody to help, or maybe you'd like to just come up and get one. I got different colors. Some of you, I know you men would like the pink ones. But I spread them out so you could kind of pick out the color that you wanted. If you want to take just a couple minutes, come up and get your prayer journal and come back and sit down. Let me talk to you just a little bit. Come get you one, everybody. Whatever color you want. I've got a little clip out in there concerning a man named George Mueller. It's placed on the inside here for you to write your name. This is my prayer journal. Underneath that, write your name so it won't get mixed up or confused with anybody else's. I want you to go to Isaiah 37. I'm going to read just some scattered scriptures. I'm not even going to minister from this, but there's one statement here I really want you to see. Isaiah 37, verse number 20 and 21, then also verse number 35 and 36. This is Hezekiah praying. Jerusalem is surrounded by a massive and awesome Assyrian army. Now, O Lord our God, deliver us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, Lord, are God. And Isaiah the son of Amos sent word to Hezekiah saying, Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, because you have prayed to me about Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word that the Lord has spoken against him. I drop down to verse 35. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Then the angel of the Lord went out and struck 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when men arose early in the morning, behold, all of these were dead. It was probably a wasting disease that God sent among those people. What had happened was that the king of Assyria had brought in those great armies surrounding Jerusalem, and he was blaspheming the Lord God of Israel. And he sent a letter to Hezekiah and told Hezekiah, none of the gods of all these nations were able to withstand what my armies. And he just blasphemed God and told Hezekiah what he was going to do. Hezekiah took the letter that had been written, and he took it to the temple, and he laid it out before the Lord. And he prayed. And what happened was, we read here where the Assyrian army was destroyed. But there's one statement that stands out. And if you look at verse number 21, listen very carefully once again. Then Isaiah the son of Amos sent word to Hezekiah saying, Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, because you have prayed to me about Sennacherib, king of Assyria. That is, the only thing I want you to see is because, what he said, it's because you have prayed to me. God says, I'm going to do what you don't expect. I'm going to do some unexpected things. Now, I want to give a personal note right here, if I could. God is going to put in your hands certain books at different times of your life that's going to help shape your spiritual life. He does that for all of his children. One of the first books, now I've read a lot of, I am an avid reader, student of the Bible and student of good books. I read books that most people wouldn't want to read, but it's just part of my research. But when I was a young minister, I read a book called God's Smuggler. Any folk ever read or ever heard of God's Smuggler? You ever read it? You ever heard of it, Christy? God's Smuggler? Brother Andrew, I would challenge anybody to read that book. It was an awesome book. And when I read that, I begin to think to myself, if God would do what he did for Brother Andrew, he'll do it for Buddy Martin. And it began to change my heart, my thinking, began to focus my thinking on a better on a walk of faith that I needed. When we first started Christian Challenge in 1976, and I read a lot of books between then, and all of and many of them were blessings. I'm talking about special, special books. I read a book about George Mueller. Now, George Mueller lived in the 1800s. He lived to be over 90 years old. He took care of more, I guess, at least 10,000 orphans. He had a tremendous ministry. And as I read his book, I saw some principles about faith there that just astonished me. For one thing, he never asked for money. He never passed offering plates. He never told anybody his need or the needs of the ministry except his staff. He never advertised any kind of need, and he had all of these orphans that he needed to take care of. And you know how he took care of them? He took care of them by prayer. George Mueller had a prayer journal, and at the end of his life, he had recorded over 50,000 prayers that God had answered for him. And 5,000 of those prayers were answered the day he prayed them. Never asked for money. That inspired me. This is why we don't pass offering plates at Christian Challenge. We haven't passed offering plates at this ministry since Boys. That's why you never hear us make a great appeal for finances. You never hear it here. Now, we do take up offerings for missionaries or somebody, and we should do that. And when it comes time to share about building programs, this is all different, but I decided back then that I would learn this secret of George Mueller. And I began to study the scriptures, and I found there's that secret is written in the Bible. Jesus taught us that when you pray, go to your Father in secret. That is, this nobody else needs to know about this. It's between you and him. That's personal, secret prayers. And your Father who sees in secret, he will reward you openly. That is, he's going to answer your prayers because you prayed and you came to him. And I made that a principle of my life and of this ministry. And it is to this day. Before I knew anything about prayer journals, I'm going to share a story real quickly. You've all heard me talk about a prayer list that I made, I think in 1966. We were living in Leesville, I believe, at the time. This thing about serving Jesus is so real. It's so real to me today. Very serious with me. I know it's serious with you. I was the only one in my family, on the Martin side of my family, that would I had a few aunts that were, one aunt that was serving the Lord, but wasn't serving the Lord. My mom and daddy weren't serving the Lord, none of my sisters. And you heard me talk about that. I made me a prayer list. I mean, if I knew Jesus, somebody needed to stand in the gap for my family. And I wrote their names down. And my daddy, and my mama, and my sisters, uncles and aunts, your grandmother, Aunt Allie, Uncle Edgar, cousins, nephews, nieces. It seemed like the Lord wanted me to list blood kin for some reason. I won't explain why, but I think there's an issue about blood kin that you have a special place of intercession you can have. And don't ask me to prove that because I can't. And you know my story. I baptized personally almost everyone on my list. I baptized my daddy 30 days before he died. I baptized my mama. I baptized my sisters, I baptized uncles and aunts, and I baptized nephews and nieces, and I checked off that list. When we started Christian Challenge, 1976, and I read this book about George Mueller, I made me another list. I listed 25 items that I felt like we needed as a ministry. 25 different, folks, you would have to have seen the building. The only person here that might even remember that building is going to be Cheryl.
Well, Cheryl and her mom and daddy came to voice that Christian child. I don't know if Cheryl even remembers, because she's about 5 years old, I think. It was an old store down, the old Polkenback store building. An old rundown. We had to replace the beams and the floor. We put it together with bubblegum and wire, just about, baling wire. We had all kinds of need. The only thing that I had, though, I knew in my heart, I already had the stewardship to raise up this ministry. But I read George Mueller's book, and I took it to my heart. I didn't even share this with my wife. I didn't share it with anybody, because I studied about secret prayer. I made a list of 25 things that we needed. Everything on that list was checked off. Since that time, I have kept a prayer journal on and off, not always, folks. I can't tell you that I always kept one, but I've kept a prayer journal on and off. The journal that I have right now, I'm on prayer 393. 378 of those prayers have already been answered. I have 19 of those prayers that are before the throne of God. I want to add a bunch of more. I'm not bragging. Please don't misunderstand me. God wants me to encourage you. I'm not bragging about my prayer life, because I fall far short of in my prayer life. I know that I do. But I know what works, and I know what God's telling me to share with you. So if you'll just give me about 15 minutes of everything I've said so far, is to bring you to what I want, this other part. So I'm going to share with you a little of my testimony, but if you want to take a note, this is fine. I'm going to share with you, first of all, about expect the unexpected. Expect the unexpected. Number two, I want to talk to you about the arrangement of the heart. There's two kinds of prayer. There's fleshly praying and there's spiritual praying. You don't want fleshly prayers. So we'll talk about arrangements of the heart. Thirdly, I'll talk to you about the prayer promise. When I came down, was diagnosed with cancer, the first prayer that I ever prayed about my health was Tuesday, November the 11th of last year. Now, I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't normally do this because this prayer is already answered. I'm just going to tell you, this comes right out of my journal. And by the way, I'll talk about this in just a minute. This was my prayer. I said, Father, let my health issue be to your glory. Out of all this, let your healing love be upon me with my testimony as a living witness to your care over me and your care over all your people. Strengthen me, O my God, to your kingdom work in Jesus' name. Amen. See, I recorded that in my journal. Now, that was in November. Diagnosed with cancer. Had 8 chemo treatments. Looked like everything was going good. Expected everything to go good. It turned to the worst. August the 2nd of this year, we met with our doctor, Halawani. And he was shocked. He actually used the word shock. And I don't want to get into it, because you've already heard this. But he told me that the cancer was into my bone marrow. And I had hot spots in my abdomen. The kind of treatment that I needed, they don't do here. He said, I need to send you to MD Anderson. And he said, this is probably what you're going to have to have. You're going to have a stem cell transplant. And he said, probably they can use your stem cells, take them out, purge them. Or, yeah, I think he used the word purge, but they take the very baby stem cells. And they kill all the bone marrow in your body. Then they infuse your stem cells back in, and your body begins to recuperate out of that. That was the best kind. The other kind was where they have to use somebody else's stem cells. That was August the 2nd. That was Thursday. Monday, on August the 6th, I'm having my devotions. And God spoke to me from Isaiah 64, verse number 3 and 4. And God told me, expect the unexpected. When you go to MD Anderson, he said, you can expect the unexpected. Now, in my mind, I didn't know what unexpected meant. I knew it meant good, but I didn't know what it meant. I just knew it meant good. In my mind, if we go to MD Anderson Hospital, if they can use my stem cell, that's a whole lot better than that other route. The other route's rough. So I kind of figure maybe this is going to be the plus for me. I really didn't know. During that space of time, God kept speaking to me during my devotions. One time he called me out to the back of this hill, back on the back of property here where we have a place you can sit and meditate anytime you want to. There's a bench back there. It's my place of meditation. I took CJ back there to sit down. That was the day God spoke to me from the poem of Hezekiah. Concerning Hezekiah had a miracle healing from God, and God spoke it into my life. And that was when I looked at the high line over my head, and there was a dove sitting over my head. Now, I know this is not significant to somebody that's not there, but when you're there, it's pretty significant. The dove wouldn't leave. I'd move, the dove would stay, cock his head and look at me. You know, dove are beautiful birds. CJ would move, and the dove would just stay there and look at us. On Monday, August the 28th, we're in Houston at MD Anderson. I've already been over there several times. They had put me through so many different kind of tests. MD Anderson, folks, is not a normal hospital. It's a scientific. What's the word that they use for that kind of? It's a research. Who said that? It's a research hospital. Who said that? And they gave you tests that nobody else has them. They're not even approved by the FDA yet. So they gave me all these tests. They went into my stomach here. They went bone marrow both sides of my back. They did all kinds of things. So we're sitting down. Nathan's with us. He got his big tablet of the paper. I know y'all have heard a lot of this, so I'm just kind of close it down. He's writing down. So we're waiting now. I'm waiting. I'm kind of anticipating. Boy, I'm gonna get to have that bone marrow transplant. They take my bone marrow. Man, to me, that was pretty good news. I didn't want that other one. I didn't want that other one at all. I studied on it too much. Sometimes you look at the enemy enough, he gets real ugly. But Dr. Nilipu started going down the tests one at a time. No cancer. No cancer. No cancer. No cancer. No cancer. Now, guess who was stunned? Because I was waiting, and Nathan was waiting, and Betty was waiting for the other shoe to drop. It never dropped. From the time that I prayed, Lord, let my health issue be to your glory, to the time I heard him say, expect the unexpected, and just a few days later, there's no cancer, was 9 months. Was 9 months. It was 9 months. But God reminded me of something. And I knew it when he told it to me. When he said, expect the unexpected, what he put in my heart, that message was not just for me. That message was for you. And he wanted me to share that with you. That message is for all of God's people. That he wants you to expect the unexpected. That doesn't mean don't expect God to answer your prayers. That means that when you pray, he's going to answer them in ways far beyond your imagination. And in ways that you didn't even expect. It's an awesome thing. Inside your little prayer journal, I printed this out and made a copy for each one of you. What I did down at the bottom, I just made a copy of what, just to give you an idea how I pray, my prayer journal. You don't have to put long, lengthy prayers and try to fill in all the blanks for God. You can just have short prayers. What I do though, and you don't have to do this, but what I do, I actually number my prayers. I begin with 001. Next one, 002. And when I write it in there, I leave a space below it. Now, George Mueller had a space over to the side. He divided his journal. I always put a space below it. I could put the date that the prayer was answered. And, I just gave you one example of one of my prayers that's in my prayer journal. This one was prayed, in July of 2006. Now, this prayer is sitting in my prayer journal because it's a continuing prayer. Father, restore to Christian Challenge our scattered sheep. And restore to us our passion and love for one another and for godly service. Let not the enemy gain an advantage in any way over this ministry, over our lives individually or collectively. In Jesus' name, amen. I prayed that prayer because the Holy Spirit put it on my heart to pray it. One thing I learned about from George Mueller is that he didn't just pray prayers that because there was a need or he thought it was a good thing. He always prayed what the Lord put on his heart to pray. And this is why it was so important to him and became important to me that always have your Bible with you. And that brings me into this issue of the arrangement of the heart. And I put in here two prayer tips from George Mueller. He always had an open Bible before him and his finger on a promise. He would appeal to that promise, and he always received what he asked. But what George Mueller found out, now I used to do that. I don't do that part anymore. And the reason I don't, well, I did it when I first began because I was discovering the promises. That is, you discover the promises. But after a while, you begin to know the promises. And you know them in your spirit, and you know them in your heart. So you don't always have to write a scripture down there. But at the first, I always wrote a scripture. But what George Mueller found out is that if he would go to the Bible first and meditate and read and study the scriptures, it would purify his spirit. It would cleanse his, it was spiritually therapeutic. And it put him in a condition spiritually to let the Holy Spirit lead him in his praying. He didn't just start praying off all kind of stuff and numbering them down and whatever. He always prayed spiritual guided prayers. And that's where you always get your prayers answered. Because folks, there's a lot of difference in praying a flesh prayer and praying a prayer from the Holy Spirit. James said the reason you don't receive when you pray, he said God wants to answer all your prayers, is because you're only praying prayers to consume it upon your own lust. God doesn't want us praying lusting prayers. He wants us pray from the Spirit according to His will. He'll put those prayers on your heart. And while you're meditating on those scriptures and reading those scriptures, and you got your little prayer journal there, you'll know, and you have to train your spirit, folks. You train your heart for this, but it doesn't take long to do that. You'll know that moment when it's time to pray, and you can get your prayer journal down, and the Holy Spirit put on your heart the little prayer that you need to pray. And what's going to happen, you're going to find yourself praying in your sphere of life. I'm going to pray pastor-type prayers. Nathan's going to pray pastor-type prayers. Mommy's going to pray mommy-type prayer. Daddy's going to pray daddy-type prayer. That doesn't mean you won't pray other kinds of prayers. But I mean, the Holy Spirit's going to lead you to pray in those areas that are very important to you. Missionary prayer, whatever it may be. The Holy Spirit's always going to help you. He's going to put on your heart what He wants you to pray. So it's from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To God be the glory, Paul said, amen. And that's why it's so important to be in the Spirit when you pray. So you always condition your heart. You always let your heart be arranged. Now, one reason it's so important for you to have your Bible is because the Bible is the testimony of Jesus. I'm talking about from Genesis 1:1 all the way through the book of Revelation. It has to do with Him. And the Bible is actually a living book. It'll speak, He will actually speak to your heart from its pages. You say it don't happen to me? You stop reading. You stop reading too quick. You need to read and you need to learn the discipline. Next thing you know, the Holy Spirit is speaking into your heart from the scriptures. But I want to give you something to back this up. And if you, are you using this up here, Brother Gary? Okay. Just put it up there, John 5:39. I want to give you three scriptures back to back. You may want to take notes on this, folks, but I want you to see the emphasis of using your Bible. And I really don't mean to drag this out, and I surely didn't want Christy to feel like she was in a hurry on anything. But sister, I love what you had to share. Your heart overflows with the testimony of Jesus. But if you look at John 5:39, he's speaking to Sadducees. He said, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me. So the testimony of Jesus is in the Bible. It's all through the scriptures. He tells them, you're unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. But what I want you to see was that he said, it is these that testify of me. Now if you go to John 15. And then I have one more one to give you. John 15:7. Everybody have it? If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Do you see it? This is heart arrangement. You love me, and you're listening to me, and you're seeking me, and you want to hear from me. My words, I'm going to give you words. My words are going to abide in you. I'm going to send something into your heart. I'm going to send something into your life. And out of this heart arrangement, you can ask whatever you wish. Why? Because you're operating under the Spirit of Jesus. One more is in Hebrews chapter 4, and many of you are going to have this one underlined in your Bible, probably. But listen very carefully to it. Verse 12 and 13. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit. It's important that we don't be soulish people, but spiritual people. So the word of God makes a distinction in your inner man on this, and you become a spiritual person. Of both joints and marrow, this is the healing power of God's word. And able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. God can arrange your thoughts and arrange your heart and the intentions of your heart properly. Verse 13, there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. This is our great high priest, the one who loves us. He said, everything about your life is open to me, and I love you, and I want to help you get your life arranged. I don't want to help you arrange your heart. There are many times when you pray, you're going to say, Lord, I need help with my heart. I'm having temptation problems. I'm stumbling over stuff. I'm thinking things that I don't want to think. And I know I don't please you in some things that I do. Lord, I ask you to forgive me and I ask you to help me. Nothing wrong with praying about your heart. I want my heart to be right with you, Lord. I want my attitude to be right. I want my actions to be right. I want to be a blessing to you. Lord, I don't want to be a failure and make other people stumble. That's one of my prayers often. I mean, I've been a preacher a long time, but folks, I have battles just like everybody else. And Lord, I don't want to ever do anything to make one of your kids stumble, that it would ever hurt one of them. But you see how all this connects to the Word of God? And so what happens is while you're meditating on the Scriptures, God draws you into His life. God draws you. I don't know a better word to use. And I've got to give you a Scripture that talks about that. And then we'll pass on. If you go to 1 Corinthians, I hope that you're staying with me, folks. This is very important. If you look at 1 Corinthians, and you're going to hear Paul lay this out, it's very awesome. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Now, this is where Paul talks about this drawing of the Spirit, the meditations of the heart. If you look at it, where God arranges your heart, verse number 11 says, For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? You don't know anything about my heart. You really don't. I don't know anything about your heart. Only you know about what's inside you. You know that. That's why God doesn't want to judge one another. You don't know a thing in the world about that person's heart. But we're not through. Even so, the thoughts of God, no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. God said to Buddy Martin, I'm going to give you something. I want you to expect the unexpected. But I want you to tell my people that's not just for you. I want them to expect the unexpected. Do you see what God's saying through the Apostle Paul here about the arrangement of the heart? A lot of times we have areas we need a deliverance in. Maybe it's some habit that we've got that we need help with. And we just bring it to the Lord. Put that in your prayer journal. I mean, He knows. And God, I need help with this. God intends to answer those prayers. And so, let me bring you to the last area and then I'll close down my part. What did God say to Hezekiah? Because you have prayed to me, I am going to do thus and thus because you have prayed to me. My people have stopped praying, is what he said. My people have stopped looking to me. My people are looking at all kind of idols. My people are looking at everything else. But Hezekiah, because you prayed to me, let me tell you what I'm going to do. He didn't tell him all the details. I think Hezekiah got the unexpected too. He didn't realize 185,000 diseased soldiers of the Assyrians were going to be laying out there dead on the ground because of one angel. God sent one angel and struck down that army. And when the king of Assyria went back to Assyria, his own sons killed him a little later. Because you have prayed to me. You see, folks, listen. Sometimes we get the idea that the Lord only answers prayers of certain people. And that if I can just get so-and-so to pray for me, God'll meet my need. Folks, that's a lie. That's not true. God's going to answer your prayer for you faster than He'll answer me praying for you. Did you know that? God will answer your prayers a lot faster than He'll answer me praying for you. But it comes back to something Nathan said. Nathan said so many things Sunday that really I thought were stood out. When the disciples asked the Lord to teach him to pray, He said, when you pray, say, Father. You have to understand that you've got a relationship with God as your Father. He is your Father. He loves you as a Father. And you can bring your prayers, and they don't have to be sophisticated. They can be childish, simple little prayers from an aching and a hurting heart. And you write that prayer down. The Father wants you to pray to Him in secret. And He's going to reward you. He's going to heal you. He's going to bless you. He's going to do some things for you. He may even give you some awesome prayers to pray. That's all right if He gives them to you, because He's going to answer them. You know, Jesus said we're to see God as our Father. Now, most of you are not from my religious background. But the religious background that I came from, we never used the word Father. We knew the devil was our enemy. But our concept of God was always waiting for you to make a mistake so He could get you. And we never used the word Father because we didn't want people to think we were Trinitarians. I'm talking about the United Pentecostal Church, folks. You don't know what I'm talking about. It was kind of scary. So we had no concept of God as our Father. To us, God was always kind of spying on us. Yes, in your background, sister. Okay, well, any of you know about that background? That's, Alice is from that background. You know exactly, you know I'm telling the truth. I have heard mockery from the pulpit that's actually scared me. I heard the preacher say one time, I'd never baptize anybody in the name of the daddy-o, the laddy-o, and the spook. You're talking about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When he said that, something went off inside me. I said, God, this is bad. This is bad news. But it wasn't until 1971, we went to Los Alamos, New Mexico to build a mission church there, that God began to speak to me about being my Father. And where He spoke to me was in John chapter 17, verse 1. When Jesus lifted up His eyes to heaven, He said, Father. And God began to speak to me and say, I'm your Father. One of the greatest revelations that ever came into my life was knowing God as my Father. That He loved me and that He cared for me and that He watched over my life. And that He was my Father. And this is the issue about prayer, folks. You're not begging God or banging on the gates of heaven or trying to con God by doing all kind of good work, trying to con God out of His blessing. God wants to bless you and work in your life and make you a useful servant much more than you could ever realize. So we address Him as our Father. Now I'm going to bring it to a close. I had three or four scriptures here, but I don't need to use them. One of them I've quoted. Jesus said, when you pray, go to your Father in secret. That's Matthew 6:6 if you're taking notes. Go to your Father in secret. And your Father who sees in secret, King James says he will repay you, he'll reward you. Matthew 7:7, the Lord says, everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. Everyone who knocks, the door will be open. He's still talking to God's children. And there's an Old Testament prophecy that God says, before the words ever get to your lips, I'm going to answer. There are going to be prayers in your heart that you may not even get in your journal. But because they're in your heart, and God searches the heart, and He's helping you to pray. You know what I'm talking about, sister? These are prayers that are inside of you. There's a promise in the Old Testament. In fact, I would like you to see this. You go to Isaiah 65, and this is kind of a principle that reaches across the ages. If you listen to it, and I'm going to try to bring it to a close here, folks. Isaiah 65:24. It will come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. God desires to answer our prayers. There's going to be some things that are going to just automatically, just be instant because the Lord's already seeing the secret heart. There'll be some things that'll be 9 months before you. George Mueller had one person that he had prayed for 25 years to get saved. You know when he got saved? At George Mueller's funeral, the man came to Jesus Christ. God did not let one of those prayers fall to the ground. Now, George Mueller was already with the Lord, but God answered his prayer. God takes our prayers serious, folks. So where do I begin? Begin with your Bible in your lap. Begin with however you're comfortable. Not a ritual prayer. It's not a ritual, folks. It's a pleasure. You can pray with David. Lord, open my eyes so I can see wonderful things from your word. Or you can pray with David. Search my heart, God, and see if there's any way of pain in me. Lead me in the everlasting. I would always suggest that you should pray for yourself. In attitude, in sanctification, in purpose of life, let God just cleanse your heart and let those kind of prayers be your kind of praying. Amen.